Backspin. Hey Yoshi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good too. It's summer in Germany, so I'm totally fine.
Yes, sun is shining.
Yeah. I can imagine the past few weeks have been very exciting for you because you just released your debut album, Universal Credit, 2.5 weeks ago. So congratulations. Are you happy with the feedback you're getting so far?
Thank you. I'm like super happy. I think it just feels good when you've worked on something for so long and have been obsessing over it for such a long amount of time to just like have it out in the world and just have that weight off your shoulders a little bit. It feels really good. I mean, the response I've got has felt good. People seem to, you know, like it, and it seems to be connecting with people. So I can't really ask for much more. I think a lot of the time with albums now, people think that like it's like, you know, 2 weeks and then like it's done. And I think when you're making something where the intention of it is to like last a long time and to connect with people, I think sometimes a story can take such a long period of time. So I'm interested to see how the album snowballs and like, I don't know, where it sits in like a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 or whatever. That's kind of, I guess, the fun part.
Yeah, I just saw on your Insta earlier that Universal Credit has 2 million streams now on Spotify. So that's great for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, like, I think with all this stuff, it's best not to obsess over things like that too much. But like, at the same time, it does feel good when you know that people are listening. I mean, I do this because I love it, but at the same time, I want people to hear what I have to say, and I want it to connect with people, and I want like as much people to listen to it as possible. So yeah, it's good. It's good. I think like there's still a lot of room to grow, but I'm happy that people are listening.
Yeah. Did you maybe get feedback from someone unexpected, maybe in your DMs or something, maybe an artist you like?
No.
Okay. Sorry.
No, not yet. Just like,
yeah,
just
maybe like in a few
regular
weeks.
Regular people. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe Elton John's gonna hit me up.
Maybe. Who knows?
That was a joke. I'm not that interested in Elton John, but that would be cool, I guess.
Who would you be interested in to react to your album?
That's a good one. I don't actually know off the top of my head, to be completely honest. It's a tough question. I'll get back to you on that if it comes to me.
Maybe it comes to you later on. Yeah. And you've been also doing shows, right? How did these go?
Yeah. I've been playing quite a bit since the album's come out, which I've been very blessed to be doing, because I don't know, it just takes you off that like sitting around overthinking about like, oh my god, how's it going. So I've been like quite busy and just running around playing shows and like meeting people, which has been good. And I think it just makes everything feel much more real when you're out and you're playing the songs to real people. So yeah, I think it's like, it's such an important part. I think that's really, it gives the album a whole new life when you start playing it out. So yeah, it's been fun. I love playing, and I love just like interacting with people who the music is interacting with, I guess.
Yeah. And were these your first live shows or your first live shows since COVID, or?
I've done like a couple after COVID, like just really small things, but like these ones recently have been like the like much bigger and I guess much more serious shows. So yeah, it's been good, and I'll have some more stuff over the summer. And yeah, I just want to make up for lost time, all the lost time when like couldn't play and stuff, now and like play as much as possible. Because yeah, I don't know, I just love it, and I'm interested in like how I can build the live show and like just expand it and make it exciting as possible for people.
Yeah. So you actually released your first EP in 2016,
mm-hmm.
right? So when did you first start rapping, and how did it start?
I guess like when I was like really young, like maybe like 13 or something, but like not in a serious way, just like with friends who I was in school with, mm-hmm. who would like go to like a friend's house and like just record stuff on like a computer, like really like shitty setup and stuff. But I don't know, I just found it like really fascinating that, I mean, before that I didn't really have an understanding that was something you could do. I think like making music and like doing that always seemed like there was like this glass barrier between like the people listening and the people making, and like just see knowing people who were making music, kind of like broke down that wall for me. Mm-hmm. And you know, I spent a lot of time like messing around recording stuff at people's houses, and like, I don't know, just like, it's been like a long process of just like figuring out what it is I wanted to do and what it is I want to say and what kind of music I want to make, which I think when you're young, you don't really have that. You're just like, you just like rapping or whatever, and it's just like for fun. So I don't know. So it's something I really have a lot of respect for, is just the journey and being very in touch with how all of these little things play such a big part in, I guess, like where things are now.
Yeah, definitely. And what were those first tracks? Was it more like drill grime, I can imagine, before you found your sound that you're doing now?
Yeah, I think it was like grime and like some like rap. But it was just kind of like, we used to just steal like beats off like the internet and like other people's things. So yeah, I don't know. It wasn't very good. I'm quite happy I can't remember anything. I don't think it was great.
Okay. And did you grow up in a musical household? What music did you grow up with? What were your mum and grandma listening to?
It wasn't like a crazy musical. Like, I don't remember like music playing in my house and stuff. My mom used to have loads of CDs, which I used to always like, you know, take and like look through the booklets and look at all the pictures and like listen to and stuff. So it was more just like me being curious about music. I used to like spend a lot of time. I used to just love CDs, and like if I had money, I'll go to like H&B and like buy CDs, and like I just love the whole thing of like looking through the booklets and reading all the notes and like all of that stuff, and just spend a lot of time watching like music TV, like MTV and all of those channels. Yeah. So I don't know, I was just kind of like, when I was young, just using any resources I could to just take music in. So yeah, I don't know, I've just always been quite obsessed with it from like really young.
And who was like your favorite artist or your favorite artists back then?
I don't know, like when I was like super young, I'm trying to think, like when I was like really, really young, before
Elton
like,
John, maybe?
Justin Timberlake. I remember the first two albums I remember having was, well, I think the first album I remember like having was the first Justin Timberlake album. I just thought it was so cool.
Yeah,
I mean, I actually still love that album. That album's amazing.
Yeah, he was a force in the early 2000s. So
yeah. And I don't know, I was just like obsessed with everything like Neptune's production around in times, like Justin Timberlake and Khalees and like all of that stuff. I think I just thought it was, and it's still stuff like I'd love to this day. Maybe a little bit of nostalgia in there, but yeah.
And would you say this inspires you in your music now?
No. Maybe soon. Maybe I'll do like Justin Timberlake music. But no, that's just like things that I remember like liking when I was like really young. But no, it's not been very. I don't think any of that's been very like inspirational to like what I'm making. I'd say like things that have been inspirational is just like, I think it's all like pretty English stuff, like especially with this album, like the Streets first album, Original Pirate Material, and Amy Winehouse first album, Frank. There's some things that I don't know, like lately have been more inspiring. And then I guess like in terms of production and stuff, things that like, I don't, things like Portishead or like Radiohead, and I don't know, stuff like that kind of introduced me a little bit to like things that were a little more like left field and more interesting sounding, at least like through the musicality. See, so, yeah, I don't know, they're off the top of my head, there's some things that I guess have inspired me in some way.
Yeah, that's definitely a great collection of artists you just mentioned, so it's not too bad to be inspired by them. So did you have like a dream job back in school when you said you didn't really know that music is something that you could actually do until you got introduced to it a bit more? Did you have like a dream job before you knew you were going to do music?
No, like until that moment, I think I was just young and like I didn't really have anything I wanted to do or something. I was just like messing around being a child.
Fair enough, yeah.
And then I think from the moment I kind of like started messing around making music, I had this like burning thing in my head of just like, I was just like, this is what I want to do. And maybe that was just a bit of a lack of like, because I didn't have anything else that I had that for. So I just put 100% focus onto that. And I think when you're young, you kind of live in this like a little bit idealistic world, you're like, oh, this is what I want to do, so I can do it. And I think sometimes what I didn't understand is the road that maybe that would take, I thought everything would just happen super, super quick. And like, you know, I'm just going to do this and like everything's going to work and I'm going to be like rich and super successful and like life's going to be sweet and I'll be like 17 and just like my life's made, which obviously wasn't the case. And I think like that's just the naivety of being like a kid. But once again, I think all of these things is like super important for the story and the journey.
Character building, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. I think sometimes I'm like super grateful that like things haven't come so easy, because I think sometimes like one, I don't think you appreciate it as much, and two, I think sometimes when you think you're ready for things, a lot of the time like you're not. Like you always think like, oh, like I'm ready for everything to happen now. And I think a lot of the time life has other plans, and yeah, I think you just gotta let life do.
Yeah, and maybe you come to the point and you just realize, yeah, so this is why this didn't work out back then, because now this is working out.
Because all these things that you do, and like every disappointment and every thing that doesn't go the way you want it to go, all just like help you grow and I guess like just develop a stronger backbone and like know a little bit, be a little bit more certain in who you are and what you want.
Yeah, definitely. And as long as you take this as a lesson and really appreciate that, then it can help you and it can actually be a privilege. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. I think if you're self-aware and you're willing to like take everything, like internalize everything, use it to make you better, then I think like everything's good. Every disappointment, everything that don't go your way, it's all good in the long run.
Yeah. So after the EP in 2016, you also released some music in 2017 and you've even been on the Colors show. And then not until 2020. So what happened in these 3 years?
I think it was just like a bit of a thing of figuring out what I wanted to do. And also just like a bit of a period where it's like, you know, you want to do all these things and you have ideas for like videos and like you have a sense of like how you want what you're doing to be presented, but a lot of the time you need to figure out like the, I guess like the back end situation of it to like have the money to do certain things.
Yeah.
So it was like a bit of a mix between like that, like figuring out like my situation on that side and figuring out the situation of like, what it is that I want to do and what it is that I want to say. I think like I'd grown quite a bit older in that time and that was a lot more, just became a lot more aware of things where like, I think when I was putting out stuff in that 2017, it was still a thing of like very much like messing around, like make stuff, whatever, put it out. So I don't know, I think it was like a period of growth in a lot of ways.
And then you released your EP Bad Taste at the beginning of the pandemic in April 2020, but the first single of the EP dropped before COVID really started in February 2020. So I imagine this to be quite frustrating, not having released in a long time, and then you come back and we have a global pandemic going on.
Yeah, it's just my luck. I mean, it was definitely frustrating. And like, I remember sitting there when, you know, he was getting ready to release it, and like I had like people saying, oh, we should like push it back and like we shouldn't release it now because it's like a bad time and stuff, which like I'm very happy that I didn't do, because I mean that went on for like years. But like, I mean, it's still kind of going on now in a sense. I think everyone thought it would just like go away in like a couple months or whatever. And I think with a lot of this stuff, obviously that was not a perfect time to release music, but I don't think there is a perfect time. I think there's always like something going on, or like I think sometimes we search so much for like the perfect formula of like, if we release things in this way, then everything's going to work and will turn out great. And I don't think that exists. I don't think you can strategize any of this stuff. I don't care who you are, what exec, what label, no one has the answers of like what makes things work. I think it's sometimes things just connect or sometimes they don't. And yeah. I mean, it was definitely a weird time, but I don't know. I'm happy how everything happened.
Yeah, and throughout the pandemic, you released a bunch of singles, and some of them are on your debut album now. So, did the whole project kind of come together in the pandemic, or did you have some of the songs before?
The whole thing came together at once. Like, it was never a thing of like putting some songs on there or whatever. Like I started the whole thing as an album, and like I knew very well that I wanted to make an album, and every song on there was made with that intention.
Okay.
So I started like at the start of 2021, and started working on music. And quickly, I think I'd done like a week somewhere, like working intensely on stuff. And at the time, I didn't really know what it was going to be. But then straight after it, I was like, why try and confine this to like an EP or like a small thing? I think like I'm onto something that feels really special. And I think for it to be anything less than an album kind of like sells it short and like puts the ceiling on it. So yeah, it was a big focus from like that moment. All that was in my head was album, album, album.
Yeah, then let's get to the album. So first I want to talk about the album cover. So we see you getting handed a check over £324.84. And these people handing you the check, they look very like content with themselves and more like they're handing you a £1 million check. So can you explain what that check is?
Well, it was, you kind of explained it perfectly. Well, what it is it's just kind of making a joke about the amount of money that you receive in Universal Credit, which Universal Credit, if you don't know, is like the benefit welfare system in England. And that's the amount that they give you every month to kind of like, to like live off day-to-day life, buy food, whatever. And it's putting it on like a massive check. One, I just thought was quite funny. And two, it kind of points at how people perceive people who receive it a little bit. Sometimes it can be like people act as if they're winning the lottery every month, and really they're getting such a small amount, you can't really do anything with it. So I think as well, when you're naming an album after with words that are like so heavy in a way, I think it's good to offset it with humor. What I didn't want it to do is feel really like dark and like, this is my take on the world. The world's so messed up. We got to change it. Because that's not what it was at all. It was always about me analyzing my situation around me and trying to, like, I don't know, make fun of it a little bit. I think, like, humor helps people think so much. Because I know for me, like, if when I'm listening to something, if it feels too preachy or too, like someone's coming to save, like, I've got some savior complex or coming to save it, I just kind of turn off a little bit. And I think a lot of people are like that. So I think the humor helps.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. So the German equivalent to the UK's Universal Credit is higher, but still, I would say it's enough to survive, but definitely not enough to live, you know?
Yeah.
You maybe have food on your table every day or most days, and maybe you can pay your electricity bill, but you can't really afford to have a social life.
No.
And it's just frustrating that you get told that apparently everyone has the same chances due to this government support and that everyone can go to university, build a better life for themselves, you know, and like, quote unquote, climb that social ladder. But where do you expect these people to get their energy from when all you have in your mind is how to come from one day to the next?
Yeah.
And you kind of get sold on that idea that it's, that this is the reality to only a few, the ones that like fell through the grid, but like more and more with, and still ongoing pandemic and now a war in Europe, it's more like becoming the middle of society and not just a few, you know, somewhere. So I think you're having an incredibly good timing with that album.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite funny because now, I don't know what it's like there, but like now it's like, the big conversation is like the cost of living crisis because like everything's getting more and more expensive. And even a lot of people who I think previously maybe hadn't struggled in that way, I think have fallen like into that. But definitely. Just because like life is ridiculously expensive and the amount people earn, it doesn't go up in comparison with that. The opportunities don't get better. Actually, I think a lot of these things get worse, but life gets more expensive. So I think it's hard for a lot of people, especially in like places like London where like everything is so expensive, like rent is ridiculous. Like it's hard to, it's just, I think the timing of it has been funny because when I was making it, we wasn't in this time, but then it's kind of come out at this weird transitional time, like post pandemic, post all the madness that's going on in the world. I think it's weird. I think life works in mysterious ways. I think the timing couldn't have been any better. And I think people are like connecting with it on a much bigger level because of where we're at in the world at the moment.
Yes. And definitely more people than maybe a year ago, because now more people have these struggles or have experienced them.
Yeah. So, there's a lot more people who relate to these things now, unfortunately. I wish it wasn't, but.
Yeah. So the album starts with like an interlude. It's called First of the Month for the Rest of Your Life. And it's such a sensory overload with the sirens and the tube and glass shattering, people shouting, someone throwing up. So why did you decide to start the album like this?
So a big reason, I have this like superstition almost. So I always knew I wanted Sick to be the first song on the album, but I hate albums where the first thing you hear is something you've already heard. I don't know why. I just like, I really don't like that. So I wanted to use something before it that kind of like just set the scene and the tone of the album. And almost like a, I don't know, like an introduction into the world. So that was kind of my thoughts behind it. And then me and my friend Karen just spent loads of time like finding sounds and all of these different things that we thought represented the overall feel of the album. And that was like really, that was like the last thing we did really for the album. That was, we worked backwards. The first thing on it was the last thing we did. So yeah, that was the reasoning behind that.
Yeah, and then it transitions into Sick. And in this song, it sounds like you just experienced a night like we hear in the intro. And that you're sick of this lifestyle and you sound very frustrated. And then again, I was thinking, being out late nights can be a great distraction from that life that you are describing on the album. And I think most people can relate that when you have a drink, your brain kind of goes from cloudy to clear and you relax a little bit, at least until the morning after arrives. So it seems like this maybe was your reality and you got out of it, because otherwise, I think you couldn't be that creative with your music, you know?
Yeah.
So how did you get out of that cycle?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even say I'm all the way out of it. I think it's something we do a lot of the time. I think that it's a way, it's like a coping mechanism, I think, a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. People just, it's a way of not dealing with things that maybe on your mind or not dealing with. I mean, you can have like no money in your account and still like go to the pub for a drink because it's easier than it is to try and think about how to fix your situation. It's easier to just like get deeper in the hole, whatever, I'll worry about it tomorrow. So it's the age old thing that people do. If it's not that, then it can be, there's a million different things that people use as that crutch in the same way. But I think that's probably just the most common one, of like burying your head in the sand. So it's something that I think always have dealt with, and you know, in a way it's actually helped me be creative, because so much with my music, everything's like so reflective of just of what's going on in my life at the moment. If nothing's going on, I feel like almost like not, I can't like make stuff up in the air. So yeah, I mean, you nailed what it's about, and yeah, I think it's like good and bad to it. I think it's been helpful in making this album.
Okay. So there's one line on Killing Me Slowly that I want to talk about. So you have that line about losing another friend. And later on in the album, you also talk about attending funerals. So I don't know if this line on Killing Me Slowly is about a friend dying.
So Killing Me Slowly, that line is more just about like people who maybe I was like very close with when I was younger, who I think you just like drift apart a lot as you grow older.
Yeah, just talk, because you know, later on it's about funerals.
On violence is more like a literal sense. Yeah, okay. It's just like people in your life who you got, I guess, drift out of touch with a little bit.
So how did you, I hope it's not too personal to ask that, but how did you save yourself from like becoming, I don't know, a victim to the streets maybe, and not getting involved in criminal activities and end up either being stabbed or in prison?
I think like music was a big part of it. And I think just when I got to, I just had a big transitional period when I got to like 16 years old of, you know, I met loads of new people and immersed myself in loads of new things like music. And I don't know, I just had this like big realization of like what I wanted to do. And you know, sometimes it's hard because I think you have to like take yourself away from people who you do love, but you know, being around is not really good for you or what you want to do in life. And that's quite a complex thing to navigate. but was something I just almost like had to like reset my life a little bit to figure things out and kind of be on the track where I am now. Yeah.
Yeah, so I actually had a conversation yesterday with a guy, and he was like that, you know, we were talking about that I'm talking to you today, and I was telling them about your music and your themes in your music, and we were like, you know, talking about our situations, and then we came to the conclusion that obviously for us it's a privilege that we like had this will to survive and make our situation better. But not everyone gets that because maybe they're not mentally strong enough to do so, or in even worse surroundings or whatever. So,
I completely agree with that. I think about that a lot, and I think it's not about talent, or it's not about how well you can rap or sing or how smart you are. I think we're just all the chemical makeup of us all is just so unique that. I guess that for me, for whatever reason, I just have always had that thing in me of just like, I'm going to get out of my situation. I'm going to go figure this out.
Yeah.
And I think this is the problem. I think a lot of the time with poverty and with money is that people think everyone's like that. And they say, well, why don't you just go and change your situation? Not everyone has that in them, unfortunately. Yeah, if everyone did, that would be amazing. But like, people are different. And
or maybe they had it in them, but they lost it along the way because...
Exactly. Yeah. So. Exactly. I think life's a complicated thing, and people trying to oversimplify it a lot and say and pretend that we are all the exact same person, and of course we're not.
No. Okay. So then we have Another Cigarette, where you feature Fred Wave. And on the album, you have 3 feature tracks in total with Fred Wave and, help me with the pronunciation, Obongjaya.
Obongjaya, okay. That's right. Every time I do an interview, everyone's like, how do I say this?
So you worked with Fred Wave before. How do you two know each other? Why did you want him on the album, and how was working with him?
I mean, he's one of my best friends. I've known we've known each other for like years now. I mean, we spend more time just hanging out, not making music, than we do making music, to be completely honest. But I think because we have such a good relationship, anything that we generally make, we love, because we just know what each other like. And I think a lot of the things we like are like quite similar. I think we have like quite a similar taste in creating. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, it was fun. It's always fun when you're working with friends. It like alleviates pressure, and you can just like go in, you know, have a couple beers or whatever, and like, make some stuff. It's fun, which I think shows in like that song especially, because it's like it just feels really fun, and I love that. When we made that, I was just like super hyped. It feels good.
So one of my favorites on the album is Hit by a Train.
That's one of mine too.
And you're really good at like you know, getting the listener into the situation that you're referring to. And often when I listen to music, I see the artist that is like rapping or singing the song in these situations. But with your music, it's more like I remember similar situations in my life, and I see myself in these lyrics. So that's, that's great. So that you make me and probably more people reflect with your music. And to me, Hit by a Train, at least that's how I interpreted it. So it's not only about waking up hungover, or at least not necessarily, but you can also feel hit by a train when you have all these existential worries in your mind before you fall asleep. And then again, as soon as you wake up. I think this was just a great picture you painted there. Yeah.
It's kind of like all these little things that like you might have going on in life that you're stressed about. And I think a lot of the time it's like you have like loads of these things that are not actually that big, but I mean, me personally, a lot of the time I can just feel like super easy overwhelmed by things. And especially, but a lot of the time by things that aren't actually that bad. Like it's just like loads of little things, and it can feel very overwhelming and feel like, I guess you've been hit by a train. It was kind of a metaphor for that feeling of like, as you said, like loads of like small existential things. But I wanted to like present it in a way that's like quite graphic. I think the idea of being hit by a train is, and like what you said, I guess like when you listen to the music or whatever, it's about being like very visual with it and being very specific in references and stuff, so that people can really like envision it And you're not just like seeing me like standing there rapping or whatever, but you're really, it really brings you into the world. Or like, oh, even better, like you said, is like it puts you in the world, which I think is the ultimate goal when writing.
And yeah, and you do that. So, and with all these existential things going on in your mind, I wondered, like, yeah, how can you focus on being creative? Because I come more and more to the conclusion that you have to be able to afford creativity, not only financially, but also mentally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how did you do that with the album?
I don't know. I think for me, it's always been like an outlet, and I don't know. It's the time. If I'm completely honest, when I go in the studio and I'm working on stuff, there's like no feeling like it when you start working on something and like it stop things start happening. So you're with someone and we start working on the music and I start writing. It's almost like this blackout moment where like everything just goes away. So I've always loved it for that. I think no matter what's going on in your life, it all disappears in that moment a little bit. So it doesn't have to become this thing of like you have to consciously block it out, because it all just goes away. It's like these minutes of almost like magic, in a sense. So it's nice. I think in the same way we can speak about, you know, going out, having a drink, whatever, is like a way of alleviating whatever's on your mind from you. That has always been that for me also, that excitement when you're making something.
Yeah. Okay. So just a quick one in 32-10, right?
It's so hard.
That's how you rap it, right?
That's how I rap it. When I say the song, I say 32-10.
Okay. 32-10.
It's like it's a model of a Nokia phone.
I was wondering. Yeah okay. So no. So I really like the more housey instrumental on that one.
Yeah.
So in general, how do you pick beats, and are you producing them yourself, or who's producing them?
So with them, it's never like a thing of like picking beats. With all the songs, I work with the producers in the room. So a big thing for me is I don't want like people to come in with things they've made already. I want to like be there when the idea is like first incepted, and we can work on everything from the ground up. So I want to go in with nothing and we leave with something. It's super important to me, because as well, I have a lot of ideas and quite a strong taste of like what I like and what I don't like and how I think things should sound and what I think represents what I'm trying to do. So I like to be able to be there, and like, even if it's not like necessarily touching the keyboard, if I'm able to like steer it and give my input, I think that's important. And as well, I think like when you're working on it at the same time, things I'm writing they can bounce off that with the production, and I can bounce off things that they're doing or trying, and it becomes much more in sync. I think a lot of the time with rap, it's like beat and artists, and it's like so disjointed, which I don't know, it doesn't feel very exciting to me. I don't think with any other genre, you know, you're not gonna, I don't know, like some big rock song or something, they're not gonna like make all the instrumentation, record it, and then give it to them and say write a song. No, everything's made together. So yeah, it's just about approaching it more like that.
Okay, so yeah, I want to talk to you about Generation.
Yep.
And in the chorus, my first thought was it's kind of like a mantra. you know
it's very like
and you're touching the subjects of addiction but also social media. Think with the line generations at home on your phone till you feel who you are ain't enough. So it's so interesting because no generation before had these possibilities to get in touch with so many people all at once, all around the world.
Yeah.
Yet this feeling of loneliness that you describe is very real. I really don't know how to solve any of this. So do you have a take on that?
that's the thing with like songs like that. I don't have like the answers to it. It's just kind of like, I guess, analyzing what I see around me. And as you said, I do find it very interesting when you look at how things are now, because I think it's great, the internet and how connected everyone is and how much information young people have. But sometimes I think it can actually be like a detriment, because I don't know, when I was young, I didn't have information. I was just like running around, living life, being like being like kind of stupid or whatever. But now kids are so switched on, and I think they have so much weight on their shoulders and so much comparing themselves with other people. And, you know, I think it just, it leads to like a lot of complexities with younger people these days that I don't think necessarily people my age had.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's just like compare, like thinking about that and comparing it to my time growing up and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm glad that like Instagram and especially TikTok wasn't a thing when I was growing up or when we were growing up. So I had my first smartphone with 18 and I think that was fine.
Yeah. It's good because I think you have time to mold and develop who you are without the outside interference of that. I think sometimes those things are brought in so early and it becomes so much about the makeup of who you are as a person, which I don't think is always the best thing.
Yeah. Yeah. When I imagine to be like a, 14-year-old girl and.
Or younger sometimes.
Or even younger. And then you compare yourself to the whole world and.
Yeah. So you're before. And at that age, your brain's so tender.
Yeah.
I think when you're older, like the age I'm at now, I think you're able to deal with these things and like being able to switch things off and know like this isn't real, whatever. But at that age, I think things have a much more long-lasting effect.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, Protein.
Yeah.
I think it's such an important song on the album because it's like, more uplifting. And it comes at a perfect position on the track list.
Yeah.
So... I'm a huge fan of Ovong Jaya.
Yeah.
And I've heard him.
Me too.
I first heard him on a track with Pasalu and then obviously Little Sims and now you. And he's just mad talented and their voice is just so incredible. So tell me, how did you guys get in touch and why did you want him on the album and how was working with him?
Yeah, he's insanely talented. He's another person that I just knew from like, I think like London's quite small and you end up in similar circles.
Yeah.
So we'd spent time hanging out and always had really good conversations and got on really well. And then when I was working on the album, I thought we might as well try and get in and see if anything comes of it. I didn't really expect much, but we just had really great chemistry and like we made quite a few things. We made Protein and Violence and another song that we didn't end up putting out.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about working with him, he's like so... He's so talented and so just like a very natural songwriter that it pushes you to be better when you're in studio, which I always think is great because I think you get the best results out of everyone when you have, it's that little bit of almost like competition, like, oh, like, but it keeps you on your toes a little bit. So yeah, it was a great experience working with that. I mean, that Protein song, it was almost, I had this like conflicting thing with it where I didn't want to put it on the album because it came so easy. It was like the only song that almost like I blinked and it was just done. So yeah, sometimes when things come very easy, you assume that they're not as good as they are a little bit.
Which is
obviously not true. I think a lot of the time the best things are things that just like come like that. So yeah, that I guess that sums it up a little bit.
Yeah, he really has the ability to like make a great song like even better. So that's incredible.
Yeah, he brings something very unique to the table for sure.
Definitely. And then I want to talk to you about Two Mums.
Yeah.
Also one of my favorites. And you dedicated this track to your mum and your grandma. So I understand that your grandma kind of stepped in for your mum for some time.
I mean, with that, it's kind of like, they both have been super, super helpful and instrumental in my life growing up in the same way like a mum and a dad would be in like a normal circumstance. And what it was about was kind of taking a situation that maybe can be viewed as quite like dysfunctional or not, at least non-traditional, and championing that. And, you know, I think there's like a million people who might be growing up in like similar situations or different situations that like also aren't the conventional, you know, how you draw a family when you're like a kid or whatever. So I think it's about with all of this stuff, whether it's like family dynamics or whether it's not having money or like any of these things, it's about taking things that maybe you don't feel comfortable with or can be quite embarrassing for young people and kind of giving it a new life and giving it some power for me, when I was writing that song, it was very important for it to not feel like, woe is me, everyone, my life's hard, feel sorry for me. I wanted it to be empowering and feel like, you know, champion in that situation, because I'm proud of everything in my life. I'm proud of my mom and my nan and my upbringing. So yeah, that's kind of what that was for me.
Yeah. So my grandparents kind of stepped in for my parents most of the time. And I feel like it's such a gift having been raised by two generations, kind of, and taking away best parts of both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, definitely. Yeah. So do you think you took, or what did you take away from that, being raised by that generation?
I mean, definitely, I think it's great to have multiple perspectives when you're growing up. Mm-hmm. Like for me, like they're both so different. And I think you get sensibilities from both of them. And even like now, like if I speak to either one of them about anything, it's like a completely different thing. And I think it's just good to have different perspectives in general.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so then tell me, what's next for you? Are you doing any festivals or a tour? Is there coming more music from you this year?
So with live, I'm just trying to figure out the logistics at the moment. I think there'll be a load more shows this summer and like at the end of the year in the UK and in Europe. But and that's something we're working on at the moment, but I want to definitely play as much as possible this year. And I'm working on a load of new music also. So I don't know. I feel like in a very good headspace at the moment, and I don't want to sit around on my thumbs and like, you know, I've put that out my it's great, but I'm excited and invested in what, you know, the next things are going to be. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's just about not remaking this album. I think the album's great, but whatever I do next, I want to feel nothing like it. So yeah, it's just, I think now I'm going to be back in the studio a lot and messing around and just working on stuff and doing that fun thing again. I think when you're making an album, it gets to the end and it's like so like clinical. It's like, we're finishing this and we got, what do we need to do to this song? And there's lists of like what needs to be done. So I'm looking forward to just being like, you know, freewheeling and just doing stuff with no end goal.
Okay. Yeah. I can't wait to see where your career takes you, and can't wait to hear new stuff from you. So
thank you so much.
It was great talking to you. Thank you so much for the interview.
Oh, thank you so much. That was great. Thank you. I look forward to hearing it. Backspin.